Hi, this is Cynic. We've been pretty late with this new episode, and that's kind of because we had some pretty big issues with the actual audio recording, and some editorial issues as well. If you listen to the Scotchcast, say, two files down on the menu for this RSS, you'll find that I was like, screw it, I'm going to get it out no matter what. And I have. But you will have to note that there are some definite audio issues with this, some clicks and some background noise I couldn't get out of the file. Sorry for that, but hey, better late than never, right? Thanks.
Hello. I didn't see you come in. Welcome to the Lincoln Cast, the Giant Bomb Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast. It is the week of January the 24th, 2015, and I'm joined by the Echo Machine himself, Squiddle.
Heyo!
And also with him in the great city of San Antonio, Texas, Durin.
Guys, earlier today I entered the Lang Zone, and it was dirty.
What are they showing off if they don't have Dive Kick?
They've got KI and a couple other indie games.
Okay.
It is the lightest I've ever seen their area in the PAXs I've been to.
Yeah, because at East they're swamped, which is normally because they're also near like Supergiant and Double Fine and other big names.
None of which are here.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, also joining us is Thurbleton.
Hello.
From the West Coast.
Yes, some would say the best coast.
Some would. Also from, actually, I don't know if either of you are on coasts. Self-confessed
East
cynic. Okay.
East Coast for life.
Well, that's true. If you weren't on a coast in Australia, you'd be in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I mean, is it the East Coast if it's upside down? And like, wouldn't that be West?
East is still East.
It's actually the South Coast.
Yeah, I'm South because it's East Coast, but I'm on the Southern, like, kind of like, if Australia was a rectangle, I would be on the bottom edge of Australia. Mm. But it's kind of weird.
And then, I don't know. Nuburama is in, you're in Toronto, if I recall correctly, which is very much not coastal.
I'm in Ottawa right now, but it's near a lake, a big body of water.
A coastal lake.
I would love everyone who has listened to us in the last 2 years to just note how well it sounds.
What?
What?
How well it sounds?
Very good for
Squiddle wants everyone to know that he got his mixer working.
Yes.
No. Oh, I thought he was putting out Noob's.
I was,
like,
sorry.
Noob's mic sounds good.
Okay, like, my headset finally, like, stopped having sound coming out of it, so I'm like, all right, I guess I'll have to buy a new one.
It's like your sound quality is, like, inversely proportional to the show quality.
It didn't take 2 years of podcasting to get him to replace his mic. It took his mic finally fucking breaking to get him to finally go ahead and get a new one.
Well, to be fair, it went from being broken to just being non-functional. And so it was like the extra step you needed.
Okay, now that that's settled, like I said, the quality of his mic is inversely proportional to the quality of the show.
Yep.
So
it's gonna be a banger.
As I mentioned, it is not a Scotch cast for a change. We are actually doing a proper Lincoln cast because on this day, the 24th of January, 2015, ArenaNet has finally done what I kind of hoped they wouldn't do. And announced an expansion.
Because you're a crazy person.
No. Hear me out here.
Okay.
I wanted them to announce something big, right? I'm pretty sure anyone who is a Guild Wars 2 fan would have
Guild
that
Wars
sentence.
3.
Guild Wars 3, yeah.
No. I think, though, like, sort of doing a, you know, here's a $40 box expansion is kind of like admitting defeat in a weird way.
I mean, how do you figure?
Because they've been trying for the past 2+ years to go, like, you know, we're going to experiment with our pricing model and the way we release content and all of these different things. And then after the end of all that, you know what, here's just a traditional expansion because fuck you, you wanted this.
How long does a company have to experiment before they realize, like, wait, there's a reason companies have been doing expansions since the dawn of gaming? Like, the people like having a single box thing to buy has all the new content.
To be fair, too, like, you know, we'll get into this a bit later, but, like, this isn't a traditional expansion pack like you see out of every other MMO.
That's true.
It's pretty close. Like, it's a new landmass.
I'm curious to see if they do the sort of like Eve thing where you can buy it with gems.
So there's that would be cool. But there's a inherent. For me, there's something to be said for when I throw money into something, because I've been known to do that, as some people may know.
No.
I tend to enjoy it more when it costs more. If that's kind of a dumb way of looking at it. And if
you're correct. That is an incredibly dumb way of looking at anything.
Sunken cost fallacy, I believe that is called.
Okay, I have a cost phallic or something. Anyway,
that's
cost phallus. Yeah,
I think another way to put it is, like, you know, if you put so much money into it, you have this perception that it's worth something. So power perceived,
right,
is power achieved.
So if I have to pay for an extent, and it's kind of there's great content that I think they're coming out with from what we saw today. And I like the idea of it actually. Okay, if I'm paying money for it, there's something there that wasn't there if it was just another living story iteration. That's kind of what I feel.
If we kept going with the living story the way it has been, we would not get Maguma in the breadth and the amount of content that we're going to be getting out of this expansion anytime soon.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. It's just the details are not out, but I think it's sort of like, here's this $40 box, you get everything in it. That seems like, from a release standpoint, kind of boring to me. Like, I want to see what you can come up with that's different.
Well, in your opinion, Shinboy, would you say that the contents of this expansion could be done as an update rather than as a paid expansion?
I mean, we obviously don't know what's in it, like the breadth
of
what's in it.
Well, from what's been announced so far.
But like a new class and all that?
Yeah.
There's a separate element to this. Like, aside from the, obviously, like, the stuff that Noob buys, that, like, gems and shit for his, like, random
backpacks. Yep, I still have something like 2,000 gems on my character.
They actually haven't asked for your money for content since the game came out 3 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, it's been, I only realized this, like, earlier today. It's like, this is, like, on paper, 3 years. It's not quite 3 years, but 2015 versus 2012, it's been 3 years since the Guild Wars 2 came out. I was shocked. I actually only thought, it was 2 years ago.
Given that they weren't willing to talk about it released, it probably will be closer to 3 years by the time the expansion actually releases.
Yeah, it's about time that they get most, if not all, the user base, plus whoever they bring back, which is probably myself and Noob and a bunch of others who've been on the periphery, to pay for the game again. Like, $40 is a good amount to get from 2 million plus people, right?
And it is a great marketing strategy, if you look at it.
Big box thing brings with it a good amount of press. It makes sense why you would do it.
Right, but it's a game, a game that never charged except monthly fees except for the purchase of the original product is now coming out and asking for money for a new expansion. What could there be in there that they're asking money for? It must be really good. So, it's going to drive people to come
back.
I think a lot of it goes back to just the amount of content they're putting into this. I mean, obviously we don't know the exact details, but we know that there is a whole new zone, and they've said it's the largest landmass that they've created thus far. So, like, that alone, you know, combined with them, the changes to the character progression, the new class, basically, like, all these changes they're making to this, you know, the guild halls, everything else, the just sheer amount of content that's in there, there's no way we would get that content in any reasonable time frame if we were still doing just normal, you know, even if they were paid for updates, but they were like, you know, oh, well, this, you know, we're releasing now the the Guild Hall update. That's $10, and now we're releasing the, you know, a few months down the road, now we're releasing the update, and that's $10. Like, by the time they got all of that content out, we'd be looking at probably halfway through 2016.
I don't know. I agree, but more of my point is, going back to the original Guild Wars as an example, is they went with, like, expansions that were also standalone, like, fully fleshed out, like, level one to max level campaigns.
Yep. Yes.
I meant something. Well, not necessarily that, but something of that creativity, that ilk.
Well, that was something that I was talking to Squiddle about, actually, on our way home this evening, was, like, that's something I would love to see for them to do. They haven't said one way or the other with this expansion which way they're going, but it would be great, actually, if they made this expansion so that if you made, you know, a Revenant or any other new alt or whatever, You had the option of, you know, does your character start their adventure in what we know now as vanilla Guild Wars 2? Or does your character start their adventure in this, you know, the Maguma stuff, the new, you know, post-vanilla, post-vanilla
story? Oh, so what you're saying is they might have a new personal right. story, but put it within the same, like,
right. like zones this, and stuff. This is, like, the biggest landmass they've created. Like, they could very well make this a whole new story and give the player maybe the option of starting from level one in the Maguma stuff.
That's an interesting idea. Right? I didn't think of that.
But don't you think if they were doing something that big, they would have announced it at the conference?
Not necessarily.
They announced a lot of other things. They could have just kept that as a secret little, you know, fastball.
Well, and they also did say, like, you know, when, before they announced the Revenant, they mentioned, like, you know, if you're coming into it either brand new or, you know, if you're coming, you know, wanting to level another character, the way they were talking about it, Squiddle and I both thought that it sounded almost like they were going to start saying, like, you know, hey, if you pay us money, then you'll be able to boost yourself up to 80. Like, it was sounding like that before they announced it as the Revenant new class. So the wording they used very well could mean that, you know, they're putting this new class in there and you'll be able to play through this new content maybe from, you know, 1 to 80 as opposed to having to go play through all the stuff you already did.
I'm pretty sure that, like, they also said, like, there's no increase in level cap because really there's no level
for it. He pretty much spelled out there's no increase in level cap.
Well, like, Cynic, me and you were talking about that's what our biggest worry is if you want to play the new class, you have to go through the 1 to 80 grind.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know that they put in items to make you skip 20 levels at a time. That says to me...
Well, no, they put in items that let you skip the first 20 levels.
Okay, that says to me even more than anything else how little faith they have in their own content.
But they also going back and fixing it, just rebalance the leveling. So now it's actually a fair deal quicker. Like within the past couple months,
they're leveled doing another character. The normal MMO thing, like WoW did years ago, where they're making the grind really quick.
They're redoing the grind of, like, basically, you get rewards for every level. I mean, like, it was already pretty easy to level up in the game, but...
Getting to 80 is not a grind at all.
Yeah.
You think it is, you don't know what true MMO grind is.
Also, like, the level 20 item is a birthday gift for people who have played for, like... If you played for a year for a character, that character gets the thing. Like, the level 20
scroll. Yeah, and also, there are books that straight up give you a level that you can get either from, like, Black Lion Chest, or you can get them, you can get a ton of them through PvP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I know a bunch of people that their next character they make is basically instantly 80 via double clicking.
But it's okay. So taking all that into account, would you be fine if this isn't what Durin hopes and it is just you play through the original Guild Wars 2 to get to level 80 plus that whatever's in this and then you do?
I'd hate that.
I would be bummed to introduce a new class at this point. Like, as somebody who's played a lot of Alt and WoW and played through all that content over and over again. I would be super bummed if Guild Wars went that same route.
Yeah, like, I'm really surprised they did not announce a new race.
I'm not surprised at all.
The main reason why I would be bummed is if all the zones are all level 80. There's no reason, especially like with the way Guild Wars 2 works, to have some of those new zones they're adding be like level 30 or something. Like the two zones they've added since, like, moving westward towards where we presume Mortar Moth is, are level 80 zones, but that's also because of living story content and all that. All the other surrounding zones are like level 20 to like 30.
Yeah, and that was kind of like the premise of why I was thinking maybe that's what they might be doing. It's like there's no reason with the way Guild Wars 2 is set up, there's no reason that all of the new zones have to be 80. To me, that would be lazy.
I agree. But yeah, with the race thing, like, I'm not surprised at all. I don't understand where people were coming from when they were surprised that they didn't announce a new race.
I am shocked.
Well, I guess I'm just used to other games.
People have played MMOs, that's why.
Yeah. Like, I'm in a bad place where I'm in a horrible SWTOR whore. Or, not whore. Yeah, I'm a SWTOR whore. Yeah, let's say that.
A SWTOR whore, if you will.
Yeah, a SWTOR. But essentially, like, they're releasing races every year as a free thing. So I'm surprised that they didn't just do it with the expansion if they're going to go release the profession.
What is war? What are we talking about here?
Star Wars The Old Republic.
Okay, I was afraid that's what you were going to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. It's a bad... I spent, like, $60 this month on that game. It's bad.
Oh, my God.
It's bad. But I will talk about that later. But yeah.
You could have bought that headset years ago.
Yep.
The reason we're struck that they're not adding new race is because there is plenty of space within Guild Wars 2 and its lore for people to play other races, and it's been out for 2 years, plus 2 plus years, almost 3 years, and we're still sitting there looking at what the fuck the Tengu are doing. The Kodan is still not playable, and there's a bunch of stuff that's probably existent in places like Kantha. Plus, Kantha is still there, just not knowing.
Yep, just very thoroughly.
no one's talking about that. And there's like all this stuff in already built into the lore that they're not capitalizing upon, instead going in this different direction, which is fair because it's okay for them to go in a different direction, but just give me something back for that. Like, pay off some of these debts that you have owing. Like, honestly, I would love to play.
I don't
as
think
a
they owe anyone
Tengu.
Jack shit to play as another race.
Well, I mean, we know why the Kantha stuff is still sitting like it is. Like, we've already had that question answered.
I mean, like, also, on the subject of the whole racial thing, and, like, why haven't they had a new race? Like, they are greatly changing the way Silvari are perceived by, like, players and in the game lore. Like, they've moved west. They chose Mordremoth as the dragon they wanted to move. They could have gone with Yormag. They could have gone with,
Bubbles.
Bubbles. I'm trying to remember the crystal one. Starts with a K.
Krakatorik.
Okay, yeah. And, like, so, I guess another reason why they wanted to do this, for, like, plot reasons and whatnot, like, for, you know, you can make a... doesn't matter what the map is so much as the story. They... seems like they're wanting to put some more, like, you know, plots for the Mersat and the Forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's, like, that's their wheelhouse, is off to the west. And so this just sort of works. Like, yeah, it's a bummer they aren't adding a new race, but it's neat that they are... greatly changing the way, like, one of the five races are.
Yeah, because, like, the only one that I'll give you that I would sort of say, if there were to be one, it would be the Tengu, if they picked one. Like,
absolutely.
Kodan is a terrible argument, because they all look the same anyway.
Yeah, and
that's racist.
And that'd be weird.
Yeah, and also, they don't really have a designated,
racist,
like, home base.
Mm.
That you can make a capital, like the Tengu do. Right. But even then, I wouldn't call myself shocked.
I feel like it's going to have to be one or the other. You're going to have the new race, or I hope, like Thurbs, or as Durin said, like, they do have a way for you to go from 1 to 80 in a different way rather than doing everything again. I hope
but
you
I think
have one of the other two options.
There's a different, like, more intrinsic problem, or not really a problem, but a more intrinsic argument to be made here, in that let's just look at any expansion in the past. Post, for example, what was it called? The Kanthan expansion for Guild
Factions,
Wars 1.
Yeah.
Factions. The whole game changed. People were wearing different armors. People were looking different. But new... the ritualists was... like, remember, like, Guild Wars 1 only let you play as humans. So
yeah. They looked a lot more Asian. I'll tell you that.
Exactly. The actual human characters look... the characters look different. But more important, like... it changed the flavor of the whole world because you added more diversity. It's like living in a world with only white people and suddenly some, like, a Asian family moves into town. You have like an interesting kind of shift in the general people you're seeing running around. And that's what a new race adds. And in the case of, like, Kantha, they added freaking Asians to it. And that's actually a big freaking deal. And when they added the African kind of influence continent, that African people.
Alona and Nightfall.
Yeah, and so you had this massive shift, not only in armors people wearing, the and that kind of stuff, but something as simple as, like, hairstyles, the colors of skin, the added diversity to the characters. In this, we're looking at a world where the same character models from day one Guild Wars 2 are continuing into the first expansion.
Yeah,
not
that's
really
why I think,
not
I think
necessarily
most
true.
Of the change, I would argue, would be late-game, end-game change for characters more than...
I mean, if you
want to
go by just, like, the way the player characters look, like, they've added a ton of different faces and hairstyles and everything to make the character, like, just physically look different.
And actually, like, on those lines, because those are added with, like, you have to buy the makeup kit or something, I think it would be a nice nod for Rena to basically make those, the ones they've added pre-expansion, to be available to anybody who buys the expansion, and then just, like, any new, like, because they're going to add more hairstyles in the future, those would then be the ones you can get with the hair.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That would be good. That would be good.
All right.
But it doesn't necessarily, yeah.
We have a list of things.
Here I go.
First thing here, I'm not sure, a lot of the wording in this thing was kind of iffy. And
jumbles
sort of
and mastery.
Yeah, there's a couple, like, we're going with the zones first.
Yeah, because it says three levels per zone.
Are you ready to go into the jungle?
I read that as just... They said there were three distinct biomes, which I don't know if there's all of them represented in each zone or if there's each... Like groups of zones.
Well, yeah, no, it sounds like it's in each zone. Like that was one of the things they talked about. Like with the
we had the canopy, the center, and the roots.
Yeah, yeah. Base of the trees in this and instance, the canopy. Level is a like vertical term.
Yeah, they
like,
stress like the vertical. Yeah. Like it's gonna be so tall.
Okay, because I was having a hard time comprehending what they meant by that.
Yeah, they were literally just basically talking about they were adding more verticality to the game.
Okay, that's cool. So yeah, like.
For example, it's to the point where they're adding
gliders.
It's a giant
jumping puzzle.
Yeah, they're adding gliders, so it would make sense that they're in each zone.
Yeah. It's going to be like very, very vertical. Well, it's the only concern I have here, and it's kind of positive and negative, right? If they have three distinct biomes, so the canopy, the tree levels, or the ground level, and then the roots, which I assume is underground. I mean, and that's for the whole thing.
I think it was more like... Like the base of the tree, then like running around like on the branches, and then like high up above the canopy.
No, it was literally canopy, ground level, roots.
Oh, so underground, yeah.
Weird.
And it would be better to have an underground section that would add some diversity. Yeah. But my main concern is if they're saying that this biome, this triple biome kind of thing, is going to be consistent for the whole thing, that means all we're literally going to get is the Majuma jungle. We're just going to get jungle. Like,
well,
that means it's not going to be like an oasis
videos,
area.
Cynic, you would know that it's going to be a lot of jungle.
Actually,
there was a sandy area in one part.
And this is something Wooden Potatoes talked briefly about during the post show of. Basically, we also saw there's a lot of, like, even now, pre-expansion, there's a lot of, like, Maguma wastes and, like, desert-looking place. And previously, like, Guild Wars 1 style, that was all jungle. And so one of the... He theorized that under Maguma is where Primordius is. And especially in the expansion, or in the trailer, we saw a lot of, like, you know, a fair amount of lava-breathing stuff, as well as the more plant-oriented things. So it's believed that, like, maybe some of the zones might have been dried out, and we'll see a bit more, just, like, more of Primordius's crew battling Mordremoths to sort of, you know, not have an entire theme of all jungle.
I really hope not, because that will get very tiring, especially if it's the same all the way through. And the fact that they're saying this is the largest piece of landmass they've created.
Wait, you mean like if it's all jungle or if it's two different zones?
If it's all jungle.
Okay.
If it's all jungle, it'll totally get boring.
It'll get boring. And they're saying this is the largest landmass they've created, but the person inside me who once was interested in marketing definitely looks like it goes, well, if they're probably doing that in saying they made a specific landmass, then multiplied by three because it did three levels. So, like, whatever they're actually saying, divided by three.
I don't know if you remember, but Destiny is the biggest landmass Bungie has ever made.
Oh, God. That fucking game.
Well, okay. How does it sound, Cynic? What if there was, like, okay, zone one is like a green jungle.
Okay. Zone two is a red jungle. Holy shit!
Oh god!
And then wait for it. Zone three is a fucking purple jungle.
Hold on. Then zone four is a jungle on the moon.
Yes,
but you know what? It would be cool if they do stuff like ice, like an ice covered jungle, or
like Blizzard did a good job with that when they did the Wrath of the Lich King expansion. Like that entire continent is up to the north; it's all frozen waste, whatever. But like the majority, like one of the zones was like this big jungle area. The other one was like a large cliffs and grassy plains, and they did a good job of like having kind of multiple different kinds of zones. And it wasn't really until the last two zones. That it was all ice and desolate and shit.
And some part of me is also hoping that the fact that they're talking about there being a canopy and a ground level, that some areas the canopy is so thick that the ground level is just darkness. And that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that covers the zones. As some of you who follow the game may know, there were three what they call scholar classes, three what they call adventurer classes. Those are the light and medium armor, respectively. But only two... what are the soldier classes, I think they call
heavy
it? Heavy
armor, heavy armor classes.
Now there are three. Ritlock is now the first Revenant, which, just going off the meaning of the word, if I remember correctly, Revenant is basically like a spirit or ghost of someone who is presumed dead, which fits with the story.
Ritlock, who went into the...
Who basically panicked and jumped into the mist after his sword.
Yeah, Yeah, to pursue his incredibly powerful sword, which actually doesn't seem that powerful.
So now, because a
fire dragon sword wasn't that great.
So now he has a blindfold and channel it's spirits. So he is a ritualist, but with heavy armor.
I love how, because noob me, I didn't watch this at 3 a.m. in the morning when it was broadcast, right? I watched it this morning, Australian time, and I asked noob to watch it with me because he hadn't watched it all in its entirety either. So we were sitting there on Mumble Chat watching it, and I called well before any of the shit that it would be a warrior ritualist. This is just going to be a warrior necromancer or a warrior ritualist as a class.
Like, man.
The moment they started talking about spirits and channeling stuff and started talking about, like, how you can, like, assume
that dudes.
The powers of, like, great figures of the past, and Noob was rattling up how that's very similar to the urns used to carry as a ritualist and how that changes
also
skills.
With the ritualist,
like,
one of the main mechanics of the Revenant is channeling spirits, and one of the main stat lines for ritualists was channeling magic.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, they summon ghosts and channel shit.
They carried
urns of ashes of great people.
Which is really funny, because if you actually look at the classes in Guild Wars 2, you have a ritualist already mechanically. That's the engineer.
Yeah.
So you're going to have two different classes that are both the ritualist, one mechanically, one in terms of theme.
Yeah, and for me it was always the theme, so I'm really interested in the Revenant. Like, I would play the Revenant.
It's a really cool class. I just thought, you know, because there was the Shadow of Revan expansion for Star Wars, I thought this was just like a follow-up to Star Wars, and Revan is coming to Guild Wars.
As some of you may know, there is someone who's actually on this mumble that we're recording this on right now, whose handle is Revan. Yeah. And he immediately, but he spells it R-V-A-A-N. He's been on the podcast, I believe, once or twice.
Yeah.
He immediately just reserve the name Revenant, spelling it like he spells Revenant.
Nice.
Nice.
Oh, man, I hope I can make a standard for WRT and use that. I'm not sure if I can fit it all, though. It would be awesome if I could. But honestly, I'm really happy that they're adding a new class because one of my main things about Guild Wars 2 has become very stagnant in how it felt. This will probably lead to the other things adding to each of the classes, but having a whole new set of tools to play with will be fun. How that mixes definitely with the other classes. Yeah.
I'm curious a couple things. One, how they're going to... These are more lore questions than mechanics. How they're going to treat new players that are supposed to be Revenants?
Yeah.
Like, are you all just ghosts? Like, what?
Are you all dead? One of you comes back as Tybalt, and...
I don't get the Tybalt love.
The bigger question is, are all the helmet options for Revenant, as they should be, blindfolds?
Just, and can you turn them off?
Oh. I know you could have turned the head slot off for Guild Wars 1 Ritualist.
Yeah,
which
Ritualist,
I did,
yeah.
Which I did.
I didn't.
Well, what
I didn't.
Oh, no, if you're a Ritualist,
your
eye sockets
were just
no,
black.
I was a bit of an aside, talking about just black eye sockets. I've been reading the Witcher novels, and they're actually quite entertaining. And Philippa Eilhart was mentioned, and this is going to be a Witcher 2 spoiler. And I was like, I remember her, and I remember kind of what she looks like, but I don't remember completely. So I'm going to look it up, and I completely forgot there's a part in that game where she just gets her eyes ripped the fuck out.
Who the fuck is this? I have no idea who this is.
I gotta play through that game. I haven't played through it all yet. That sounds awesome.
It's metal as hell.
Is that like the warrior chick?
Who's Philippa is the sorceress, or whatever, with the black hair.
Oh, she's a bitch. So,
wait, that's not the chick you're sleeping with in the beginning of that game, right?
No. That's Triss.
No. Yeah, that's Triss.
Yes, those books are good. Times that game. You should read them.
Have a wrap over your eyes as a Revenant. The Mesmer, for example, is always supposed to start with a mask, and like various classes, like it's. You can go with the theme, but I don't think they'll require it.
Yeah, no. Like, I have the engineer eye patch on my thief, which is funny because I have the eye patch over one eye and my hair like in front of the other, so it's a thief that can't see shit.
That's good.
Right. I just realized that with this Revenant release, that means I'm going to have to find one of my alts to delete.
Or just buy another character slot.
I'm going to buy another character slot.
Mine are full. I have 11 characters.
What? Oh my god, what?
Hold on, you can only have 11 character slots?
Yep.
Really?
You have 11 characters?
I think it's 11. Is it 8?
How many? No, I have 10. I have 10 characters. I have 9 80s.
I know I maxed out.
My thief found.
The reason I maxed out was actually because the first time I bought a character slot, it glitched out and gave me 2.
Oh.
So I didn't.
If I can't buy another character slot, I'm gonna be really bummed. I'm gonna have to delete that Asura thief that is just my mule that I don't give a shit about.
Is it? Yeah, wait, do you not give a shit about it because it's a thief or because it's an Asura?
It's an Asura. Oh, I have a Norn thief that I play. Oh,
okay.
Norn thief. Anyway. Wow.
Going on to the Revenant, I assume the Revenant will launch with one of these, our class specializations, which are, they haven't explained everything about how they work and how you acquire them.
They spend quite a bit, though.
Yeah. I think anyone who's played another MMO has a general idea, or even just like any action RPG has an idea of what a specialization is.
It seems like one of the biggest things, really, with how it works, at least in terms of with Guild Wars 2, is that you take on whatever the specialization is, and most importantly, it seems like it unlocks another weapon type for you that you didn't have previously.
Also,
and
that's going to give you
a whole new set of skills. Yeah, so the elite and the skills obviously are not going to be tied to your weapon, but if you want like kind of a whole new way of playing your character, they do offer that by giving you a weapon choice. I have a couple of
quick questions that I don't know if you guys can answer.
Okay.
One, did they explain it all? Because I don't recall hearing anything about it, about how, let's take the ranger, for example, because the one they went into the most detail with, which the specialization is a druid. Use a staff, matron magic. That's the most obvious one.
Right.
If you specialize to become a druid, I assume you can, like, you're still a ranger. If you equip a greatsword, you still have ranger greatsword skills.
Yeah, they didn't explain that. Yeah. They didn't explain that at all.
It's one of those things where,
from what it sounds like, basically the idea is, like, you can choose to be a druid, and it unlocks a new elite, some new utilities, and a new type of weapon.
But
I don't think it takes away any of your ranger abilities.
One of the words that he said was, then you become
a druid.
That was one of the key words he used.
I wouldn't be surprised if you were to go underwater and some characters you have like a lot of utilities are blacked out. I wouldn't be surprised. And other utilities work in different ways. It's going to be something like that where like let's go with the ranger to druid. Maybe you don't get access to your traps. But like the little element things you summon, little like Oakheart
spirits,
they like perform differently. And maybe you like, on top of this, they release like a dozen new utility skills as well. That's just ranger like in general that maybe like, you know, six are specific to the druid.
Yeah. The only other question I have is, if you have a party and someone joins like a ranger, is the druid going to have a separate icon if you know they're running like a druid build at the time? Stuff like that.
I
hope so, because like all of the other games I've played with specializations within a class will show it, that are multiplayer. Like, oh, this person is playing a different specialization. Which comes to like my question is, they're surely adding multiple specializations per class.
It
kind of
sounded like one. It sounded like one.
Which I can't imagine.
This is stupid.
Like, that's silly. Yeah, I can't see them. What I would imagine is they're probably going to split up skill sets that are existing of the ranger, add more, and then split them up into separate specializations.
Yeah, so like, say they also add something in addition to a druid. You can have ranger skills and druid skills, but not ranger skills, druid skills, and whatever the other one is.
Right.
You have to pick one or the other.
Or I think, like, the ranger skills that are available to everyone right now may be divided to a specialization. I doubt they'll take skills away. Really? I feel like you can't pick a ranger, but you can be like a ranger specialization. Like, there's no general ranger anymore. I think they might remove it. That's what I don't know. I can't imagine it just being druid and then ranger. That seems a little bit too soft of a switch.
The way they described it, it sounded like the druid thing would be something you would like unlock later. Like, it is something that was just like a thing you have when you made your character.
It sounds like you'll definitely have to do something to unlock it, I would think. Something more than just going to like an NPC and sitting and saying, hey, I want to be a druid now.
I mean, that being said, like on the terms of unlocking skills and whatnot, they've sort of already been doing that with the way they remodeled the leveling process. I haven't done too much of it, but Shinboy, have you played around with
I've taken a second warrior from 1 to 80.
Like, I've done that too, but through crafting, so...
Oh, I only crafted like the last... maybe 15 levels or something like that.
Yeah, but like to get the actual ability skill points, like you can get the currency of it, but to turn that into a usable like skill, you have to do stuff in the world, or at least,
or you pay money, like I did.
Yes, or you can pay money. So that's what you went with. Like, we're not talking real money. We're talking like gold.
Yeah, gold and skill points to buy the books. So same thing with traits.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if that same like method was applied to the new stuff that they're adding. Of just like
either do this thing or just gold sync
or just front the cash.
Oh, it seems like a totally you just made me really thing. Bummed out by suggesting there's this one specialization book loss. Like,
there's no way. I don't think
you have no
I
idea how bummed out I am right now.
I think they're gonna make you choose a specialization.
Specialization
blah,
is
blah,
a weird
blah,
term
blah.
To have one yeah. for class four.
Right. I mean, specialization. I think you would probably have to choose one of three, or maybe even
yes.
one of two.
Even one of two.
Yeah, one of two like, would work fine. Yeah.
If, like how games have done it in the past is once you get to this point of your character's progression that the specializations available, you generally have two to three specializations to choose from, and they all tend to have a aspect of the previous class that it's emphasized in specialization, all the parts that are locked out. Yeah. So, for example, like New's previous example is probably most accurate to RPG tropes, where a druid would not have access to traps, but its spirits would be much more powerful. That's like the idea of.
Then if you go like a hunter, you'll totally have traps. We won't have nature spirits.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but everything you have is more powerful. Like it would be a way to literally specialize, like to go into the part of the class that you like playing, and that's what I would like. If it's literally just a separate, like either ranger or druid, then I'd just like I'm signing out right there. I'm not.
I think the worst case scenario for me would be is now rangers just get to use druid abilities on top of everything they have. That would be very very poor of a decision.
So essentially, it just boils down to hey, you get 10 more skills. High five, guys. Let's
but
go
I mean,
home.
Even if you think about the other professions, I can think of like probably at least two for each. Like ranger,
that's
you have
why,
hunter, and druid.
That's why I think it's the most likely to be two, and then possibly three. Yeah.
Even if you just go into like D&D classes, you have like warrior. You can go into like fighter, or even though commander is a term that's already used, something like a commander.
Right, and I think it's great for gameplay because it completely changes the meta and forces people to find more specialization, and it essentially makes more classes without making a hard class.
It doubles the class count. It doubles the class count. Or triples the class count.
Yes, you can't go wrong diversity.
Which at the same time, I feel like if that was the direction they were going, then being able to say double the class count is something they would have said.
They would have said. Yeah.
Right, but I feel like from that presentation, they're not particularly great.
Well, Colin did say it's basically like having a second profession, wink and nod.
Yeah.
Which makes it sound like you'll have your base class plus whatever you get from
the specialization. You can switch between them at will, like in the first game, I would think.
Yeah, which means you just have like the 10 skills that are that are attached to each specialization, which is one new weapon and one essentially for each utility slot or whatever. And then you essentially just be able to switch between whatever. Which is, I guess if they add three professions or two professions per class, that's 15 new skills. Or sorry, 30
which
new,
is
20 new skills, which is good. Like, that I would take, but that wasn't what they sounded like they were doing. Which is kind of depressing to me.
I don't know. All I heard in that presentation was jungles, so I don't know what they were really talking
about.
No
one even made a welcome to the jungle joke.
Yeah.
I mean, like, on the subject of just, like, the number of classes and subclasses and all that, I've said this in a forum post, even though I was incorrect in the number, but just, like, right now they have 8 classes, and so if they bump it up to like the Revenant to make 9 and then add like so you can diversify 3 ways, that's going from balancing 8 classes to 27. So if they do go ahead with this, I imagine it's also going to be like there is no like there won't be a whenever you change profession sort of thing, like change the subclass, it will change the icon because there won't be a level 80 ranger anymore. There will be a level 80 like, do you want to be a druid, a ranger, or a beastmaster sort of thing?
To use a Star Wars example to support your point, like, you have your character, which you can be 1 of 8, and then you pick a permanent specialization. Like, for example, for like an AJ, it would be a sniper or an operative. And then from there are 3 sub-disciplines. So I imagine if they really wanted to, they could branch out from this in the future.
I mean, if
to
you
add
want,
even
if you
more.
Want a good template for this, you can just probably base one off of each of the trait lines for a specific class.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what I hope they do.
I mean, 5 seems like we're stretching a bit. Like, 5 per profession seems like maybe asking too much.
Oh, no, I
don't
think it's going to be 5. Yeah, but, that'd be too much.
No, just group them. So you'd have like one that's essentially based off 2 of the trait lines, one that's based off 2 of the trait lines.
Yeah, like Warrior, you have like the power line and the precision line. Like, group them into one damage-related thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, group like tactics into another one.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's
basically what I'm saying. Just like to make it work, they need to completely retextualize like everything across the board.
Well, I mean, it depends if they're going to make it a permanent change or if it's you can switch at will, right? So if you can go your guardian from a tanky kind of specific or specialization to DPS, like to healing or DPSing. Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of like I feel like you should be able to choose. I mean, they're solidifying class roles a little bit more. I think that's what it's going
to
be.
Well,
it
comes
like.
To my question of like, is PvP at the moment either especially well balanced or especially poorly balanced? Like, is there a,
seems
a particularly?
All right.
It seems all right. Like because I'm playing some PvP. Pretty good job with Guild Wars 1 balancing, and that had many thousands of times as ways to change up your character than what you have now. And there doesn't seem too much of a stretch to me for them to go to like three specialization.
The meta
that's not that
in PvP, as far as I understand, it seems pretty fluid and it seems relatively balanced. Yeah. Like things are going in and out of favor, like you would expect.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what you want. Like, and adding more classes won't actually change that too much. Like it will make it harder. Initially, but eventually it always goes into like a normal
like,
sine wave.
The problem with balance in Guild Wars 2 is that the professions are actually fairly well balanced. It's just the content is not.
Right. Yeah. That's something that's entirely like well yeah,
that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, and also like maybe masteries would help with that.
Masteries. What are those, you guys?
Well, you can go into the jungle and get masteries, guys.
God, that presentation was so bad.
I thought it was actually all right.
The first guy who came up was very vague in his description of
Michael
everything.
Bryan.
Yeah.
Head of the company.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not a great public speaker.
No, he's not. No. He's just there because he's the head of the company.
Right.
Yeah. Neither
but
is
you think
what's
being
her
head
face?
Of
Jennifer
company,
Hale. She's a
Jennifer Hale
poor.
Was at like 15
she
when she
made
needed
up
to be out of
everybody.
5.
Yeah, she.
Yeah.
She was like, get a hydrate! Yeah!
I think she was cocaine! More excited than the cumulative crowd in the audience.
Except for one particular moment that we'll get to later. Where the crowd went
and honestly,
nuts.
when she was saying, you may remember me from, and I was thinking, oh yeah, and I was thinking pretty much of every other thing she's been in. Except for
yeah, the first thing I thought of was like Mass Effect or, yeah.
I am FemShep.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are masteries, Nubarama? Since you seemed excited about them, I'm putting you on the spot.
There are three kinds of masteries. I think it was, you can get mastery points and then spend them into getting like gliding skills, exploration, or crafting. And I think they added something like you can spend mastery points on discovering new languages to find hidden parts of the game.
I think that's really cool if it works like they say it will, which it totally won't.
Yep. Yeah, it's won't. It's essentially, I would argue, like, I think it's mostly like periphery stuff, so it's not directly combat related. They didn't say anything about combat related masteries, so I think it's focused on exploration and crafting so far.
No, they did say that there will be some. They didn't actually talk about them though.
Okay, but the ones they talked about were focused on exploration and crafting.
I like the idea of sort of like Final Fantasy X Albed primers around the world.
Yeah, that was exactly cool. What I thought of.
And then, you know, you can read the sign that tells you how to get into this area. You can then get into this area. It was funny. I was joking on mobile. It was like, you're going to need to know this stuff to get into this area. And then I responded or, you know, said offhandedly, like, or know a mesmer that can get into that area. And just have you portal them in.
Well, I was going to say, or, you know, go read the wiki.
Nice.
Well, it depends. It's one of those things. They could just hard gate it. Like, you can't interact with this thing unless you have X amount of things.
They will hard gate it. They will hard gate it. It will be hard gate it.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things where it's the fact that you have to have a mastery to get a glider and it'll help you like survive long jumps and stuff like that is pretty awesome because hey, they're adding fucking gliders. That's pretty fucking cool. Which means they have like a level of trust in their engine that they previously didn't had, which is good. But another half of that is well, how difficult are these masteries to get and how do we gain them? Because don't want to do jumping puzzles to get better jumping puzzles.
They
I
said
want to do
you will
something
get
else
masteries.
To have.
Yeah,
you still get mastery points. Yeah. It seems to be a general thing.
You will get mastery points for doing just the missions from the expansion or just side stuff as well. So I think things like the glider will be like once you do a couple missions from the expansion, you will get. But I imagine there's some like cordoned off, like high level, you have to grind for a couple weeks or something like that. Like you have to like work for the top level one.
Yeah, like I imagine that the primers are probably something that's going to take a while to get to a point where you're going to start actually finding stuff with them.
Well, one of the things they mentioned was like part of the mastery system isn't necessarily just getting, for example, the glider, but part of it is getting better with the glider and be able to do more stuff with it. So there's more to it. There's
sweet
also investing
flips.
Into a mastery. Yeah, no. You'll be investing into a mastery, so maybe you'll get a double jump, maybe you'll get a triple jump. And
now,
that's personally what I want. But
now I was there, however, I probably didn't catch everything, as some people who will maybe be writing it down when they were speaking about it. Were you able to use the glider outside of the new area or only in the new area?
I don't know.
They didn't specify that.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure.
It wouldn't surprise me like if the answer was yes or if the answer was no.
Okay. Yeah. Either way, I wouldn't be surprised. I hope it's yes because like one would assume with the patch they're rolling up the latest version of their engine and that would apply to the whole game. So,
the reason why I would say that's probably yes is because the way he kind of introduced it was talking about the whole like jumping off of cliffs and sliding to the ground. And he said in Heart of the Thorns that is no more.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't be surprised if yes, only because a lot of the things that especially benefit it, like, you know, being able to ride like, you know, up winds or whatever they're called.
They could just not add that to the old stuff.
Yeah, they couldn't they could just not add that. And the other side of the coin is the community is already broken, like everything in the current game. Like we have void jumping and just we know everything. It's fine.
It's a video game that a bunch of people have messed with.
Yeah. It's just let us have fun with it. It's
guys, I'm gonna do my new speed run to 80. That's gonna be my new
thing. That weird thing where you're writing code within the game using the game and then having it run.
Yeah, I just need to spawn a power block at the same time that I pick up the Koopa shell in Maguma.
Yeah, man, exactly.
That shit was insane. Anyway, that pretty much covers masteries. We know generally what they are, but we don't know any of the specifics.
None
which says a lot about this whole thing.
Yeah, you know about his glider. Yeah.
Which, just as an aside, like just covering everything that we've been talking about. Arena said.
Did we talk about the lore mastery thing?
The languages.
Something just occurred to me, guys.
Mm-hmm. What?
There's going to be fucking glider skins in the gym store.
Yep.
Oh,
100%.
Yep. Oh, there's one thing about masteries we didn't talk about. Part of masteries is the ability to further master your ability to craft, and that will allow you to craft legendary precursors.
Yes, they did mention that. Yep. That is finally in the game. That thing is finally going to happen.
Which was kind of hilarious to watch. I had the game running as well, talking to people in Guild, and someone just said, oh, the price of Dusk just like dropped by 200 gold.
It dropped like 300 gold instantly. It was insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
like it was funny because that was a thing. I don't remember them actually explicitly like saying that. It was like a random dev in like a random forum post.
We only watched the video, and he says it on stage. Like
No. I mean, the seed of the idea of the precursor scavenger hunt or whatever. If I recall correctly, I could be wrong, but it was just like a random dev on the forums and just like some thread said it, and then the community just latched onto it.
The part that's kind of like about it is like that got out there at some point. Like, you know, that was going to be something they were going to do at some point, and now that's something you will get if you pay them money.
Oh yeah, the ability to like to get masteries and stuff. Like I wonder
now they're behind a paywall.
Are masteries behind the expansion, is that something that's getting added to everyone?
We really don't know. We don't know anything about what they're.
I presume
what is the world
difficult
look like for vanilla.
Yeah, I presume some things like maybe not new class, but definitely like masteries and the specializations that's available to everyone.
Yeah, I would assume it'd be available to everyone.
Yeah,
like the one thing that would make a druid give us money.
Yeah, the one thing that wouldn't make it available is like the system will be in place because often like just throwing back to WoW for example, we often see like the big patch before the expansion is all of the actual features. And then the content is what they release. So I think like a lot of the unlocks for masteries will be located in the new zones.
Which I guess for me begs the ultimate question: was the expansion necessary to roll out these things?
But I mean, even if they are only available in an expansion, like you have to pay money to get access to craft your own precursor, it will inversely lower the price of it on the market anyway.
Yeah.
So, even if you don't get the expansion, you're still, like, benefited by it because Dusk no longer costs, like, 1,500 gold and instead only costs, like, 300.
But to answer your question, I think we actually addressed the very top of the show. Like, I don't think they need a reason to make an expansion. I think it's time for an expansion.
No, yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. I feel like they sort of missed the window for an expansion.
I disagree.
I think it should have been a year ago. It says a lot that I forgot this thing came out in 2012. I thought it came out 2 years ago. It's been a while.
Because like a year ago was a time when they were still like doing their grand experiment, which I guess they decided they were not going to do the grand experiment anymore. It had run its course.
I'm kind of happy because I called this eventuality 2 years ago. So, go ahead.
Well, the Guild Hall's finally coming to a game called Guild Wars near you.
We haven't gotten to there yet. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But I was just going to say, like, coming back to this discussion is sort of like, I sort of expected Guild Halls to be around 6 months.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. 6 months into the game, I was expecting Guild Halls. I was expecting GVGs, like, much earlier than now.
Speaking of Guild Halls and GVG, yeah. Let's just skip ahead to those.
Yay!
They're adding a new game mode called Stronghold, which they also mentioned you'll be able to create guild teams and participate as a guild, and also you have to kill the enemy guild lord. It's GVG.
It's GVG.
Minus the parts that I thought were interesting about GVG, which is the banner in the middle with the morale boost.
Oh, well, that was cool. Yeah, maybe that's in there, but they have other things, like they have supplies that you have to move around and shit. Like, there's things for them to make interesting.
GVG in Guild Wars 1 was always more than just killing enemy dudes.
It was about morale. It was a morale game. You had to control morale.
Also, it happened in your guild hall.
And running the flag. Yeah, so there's a couple things that's interesting about this, both good and bad. The first thing is I really like this mode. Like, the whole, like, you have NPCs that you can buff or debuff with supply that you have to get from in the world, and then you have to, like, gather your NPC army, then storm the enemy, like, tower and capture and kill the guild lord. That's fucking cool. That's a proven thing from Guild Wars 1, and it works. It's an amazing piece of, like,
so is it basically just like a single lane MOBA?
No, the maps are fairly open.
Okay, because that's kind of the way it sounded when they described it.
I mean, imagine it.
It is a pretty like, if you boil it down, it is a single lane MOBA.
Sure.
Like, what I mean is, like, there's not three lanes like there is in a normal MOBA.
Yeah, like, but it's not like, you know, all ADU dudes run at the other eight dudes and just kill them. It's not.
Yeah. We don't actually know how complex they're going to make it, because in the original Guild Wars, it actually got pretty damn complex. Like, there was traps and shit. You could have a guild thief that would sneak around to every guild had a back door, so you can, like, get the guild thief to the back door and sneak in that way. And it was amazingly complex. Like,
you didn't really have to worry about the guild lord. You had to worry about the bodyguard.
Yeah, and the retinue, and when some it was, like, legitimately, it got incredibly complex, and it was a wonderful piece of game design.
Also,
like,
because GVT, which I don't know if they're going to do this here, because I don't know how guild halls are going to work, if every guild's going to be owned, like, very cheaply, and then it costs a lot to expand on it, because that was the system in the first game. But the way it worked in Guild Wars 1 is that in GVG, the home team, you played in their guild hall.
Thank you!
That was the map.
I was telling Noob that this is the thing I find really disturbing about this, because they have all the core elements of the gameplay down, but they're missing the heart of why it was.
Yeah, there was something to defending your own guild hall.
Yeah, like, and more
so
than
they
that.
Could,
like,
so explain to me how it worked before. They could, like, attack your guild hall.
I'll tell you both
no,
ways.
No, no, no.
Right?
You had to set up the matches. It was like regular PvP. It wasn't like the blue.
So how it used to work was, you fought for your guild. You didn't, like, how this system works is your guild registers a team of people and they get into matchmaking, right? Mm-hmm. Previously, your guild would, it doesn't matter who it was in your guild, but your guild would have a team. Like, as long as you have eight people in a party, you could enter matchmaking for GVG battle. In this, it's a five-person, stated team that you have to register that represents your guild that is entered in the battle. That's one thing that I find fundamentally different between the two, because in previous Guild Wars, you'd have your A team, your B team, you'd have both fighting side by side or entirely separately, or, like, you couldn't get your good monk this round, so you just grab your, like, this other guy who doesn't really GVG with you all the time, but he's a good monk, so you grab. Like, there's a whole element of.
Yeah, you would have, like, guests come in.
Yeah, like, you had guest fighting. Exactly. That's, like, alliances formed because all these teams started working together because it's hard to get
super salty because you brought in, like, a really good assassin ringer that just went around just one-shotting people.
And it was amazing because it formed this community of, like, especially with the high level, like, top 200 guilds. Everyone knew each other, or, like, at least had a general idea of who had what players, names of players.
And like, people that were PvEers knew who the good PvP guilds were and, like, knew the top players.
Yeah. Like, everyone knew Evil. Everyone knew fucking Irresistible Blokes. Like, it was a massive deal because it was the guilds fighting the guilds.
Like, everyone knew, like, Rebel Rising. And, like, we were, my guild were mostly a PvE guild, and we started doing HA, which is another PvP mode. And we got to Courtyard, which is, like, one of the second to last or third to last map. And it shows you who you're facing at the beginning. And it showed us, like, rank NA because we were not top 1,000. It showed the other team rank NA because they were not top 1,000. And then third team, Rebel Rising, rank 2. Well, shit.
And it was, and that's the beauty of it, because first of all, A, that's awesome, but secondly, that's not necessarily their top five team. It's just people in Rebel Riot. It's your guild fighting,
but,
right?
But the thing is, it didn't matter because the name didn't wait.
Yeah, and so you well, get the guild
to be
being
fair,
famous.
They fixed that, though, because they're adding leaderboards for your guilds.
Well, no, it's not. It's leaderboards for the registered teams. That's the difference here.
We'll have to see how it works out, because a similar community could
form. The guild is going to be... Well, the guild is definitely going to be noted, because that was one of the things they said, like, to show who the best guilds are. So even if it is just a registered team, like, you'll still see...
Yeah.
If you see, like, the top, you know, three teams are all from the same guild, it'll still come.
But you wouldn't necessarily have like the interbreeding of like, hey, we could get a ringer from another guild or one of our alliance guilds and all that kind of stuff.
It seems like it's basically treated a lot more like the arena fights in WoW.
Exactly. Or just like how PvP is, like how what PvP is in Guild Wars 2 vanilla, which is like you have your registered teams that fight against. It's like essentially using that same engine but applying it to a different mode. That's one thing I don't like. But the second thing is the second heart of it, which is what Simboy pointed out. There's a reason guild halls were so important in Guild Wars 1. And that is because it's fundamentally how you fought in GVG. Because if someone was attacking you, they would fight on your guild hall. And you'd know it better because obviously it's your guild hall. You've had time to like think about the tactics that you'd use in your guild hall. Like some guild halls literally had traps and shit that you could like run NPCs through specific areas, so if anyone tried to chase you, they'd trigger traps and get their asses kicked. Or like some, like the top guilds have this, like usually use this ice map where half the map's covered in ice, and if you walked over ice, you'd you'd have like this really massive debuff on your movement speed and shit. So you'd know like the fast routes through this ice map. It was an incredibly intricate thing and deeply personal to the guild that chose it as to what map they use, why they use it, what tactics they use. It was like a massive, like GVG, there's a reason I still wax poetic about GVG, and this is not that. Stronghold is not GVG.
But you have to admit, though, it is a step like in that right direction.
Yes, absolutely.
It's definitely in that direction.
It's way more interesting to me than Control. Like, this is definitely the mode I would be playing if I started Guild Wars 2 again. Mm-hmm. Like, this is awesome. But they did add guild halls. Like, the reason I think they disassociated the two is because what they're doing with guild halls is more interesting than what they previously did. Like, before, all you could do with the guild hall was, A, you fight in it, which is fucking awesome, but B, all you really did was chuck in, like, NPCs
spend
to buy shit out.
Shit fucking ton of money on your guild hall, yes.
Yep, so you can get, like, a rune trader. Yay.
Exactly, yeah. But now, like, I guess, Shinboy, you probably be more interested in it than I am, like, because you explained them. Because they said you could do more with them, like exploring shit and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I looked at some of the art for it, and there's like, it looks like there were bars and all kinds of crazy shit. And I didn't really look
great
at it that
much.
Great
for RP guilds.
I mean, yeah, guild halls are always great for RP guilds.
I do a lot of drinking when I play, so that's perfect for me. Okay.
I mean, no joke. Yeah. Pre Lion's Arch, I knew a couple guilds that did like bar jumps from one to the other on some nights.
The text that says work with your fellow guild members to chain and grow your own guild hall in the heart of Maguma kind of is strange to me.
Because
I don't want them to all have the same theme.
I hope they're all jungle themed, because I love the jungle.
Well, I kind of like the idea of setting up shop in ruins. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, like the idea. I think the idea is like you buy these ruins and you essentially slowly do them up, like Skyhold style of like, as a Dragon Age reference, it's slowly like making your guild hall like pristine and stuff. And also like it made it sound like there was events that happened in your guild hall, like stuff to do with fixing it up. Yeah, like to do with fixing it up and like adding things to it and that kind of stuff. Like it seemed like there was way more to them.
You can attack other people's guild spaceship, which is pretty cool.
Nothing about Star Wars is cool. Not
and
just that game. I mean, the franchise
sort of
in general.
Like guilds have like ownership. I hope they do this because I know it happened in Guild Wars 1 where guilds have ownership over certain zones, and I hope you can fight over them.
Certain towns. Well,
That's something they never really talked about. But just in terms of what they did talk about, guild halls themselves seem pretty cool. It's just not something I'm particularly interested in as a person who's like.
I think
more
guild halls
into, like,
are cool.
Yeah. But the reason, like, you have a really active guild. Nowadays, what do you guys did you get any like temperature of the room about what they think about guild halls and stuff? Or
I mean, like, this only happened today, and I jumped on for missions for a little bit, but yeah, like a lot of people seem excited for it. It's not for me.
It's something if you're going off of a game that like I've been playing in the Giant Bomb community as a whole seems to be into now. Warframe has a similar system with dojos where they're completely customizable, and that community seems to love them.
Yeah. I like the idea of if I log in and all I want to do is like have a beer. IRL, by the way, I just mentioned that.
Yes, yes. Because everyone says IRL when they're talking on an audio show.
And I just want to like hang out somewhere. I don't always want to hang out in the city. Maybe I'd like to go to the guild hall, sit in a bench and just chill and see who comes
bullshit with random
like,
guildies that happen to be walking by after a hard day's work.
Yeah, right. be like, hail vine traveler, may I get you a mug of mead?
Are you going to be our guild bartender?
Yes, that'd be awesome. What would you like? I want mead. No, you have golden monkey, for that is all I will serve you today.
Okay. Yeah, I think depending what they do with guild halls and whether they're sort of like modular or whether it's like here's the space, fill it.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see which direction they take that.
Now, are we as a guild, and maybe just go for other guilds, are we going to start like a pool where we're going to like try to stash money away?
I assume it would take influence and commendations. I don't know if it's going to take gold. Probably some.
Okay.
Again, like, I tried throwing this earlier, but just like a lot of the stuff we've been talking about, Colin said that I'm assuming going to be on their points of interest show, but like they said, through blog posts and live shows and whatnot, they will be covering all the different stuff they've been talking about in the coming weeks. So Twitch, like, has anybody else been like just tangentially just watch their live shows?
Nope.
I have not.
No.
It's improved.
But I will say that with this expansion, with these changes, I am definitely, you know, regardless if it was charged money and it wasn't, or if it, you know, whatever, I am definitely interested in Guild Wars 2 again,
just
more
judging,
so than I ever have.
Judging from the Giant Bomb community and like the threads that have been going on in that sub forum, it seems like more people are interested now as well.
Yeah. And it's why people have expansions like that. That's why the element of expansion exists. Yeah. It's to regenerate the interest and to get a chance at selling your bill of goods again. And I just hope they capitalize it on the stomach.
Can I tell you guys a secret?
What's that?
The real reason I'm disappointed it's a box expansion is because the subreddit gets the satisfaction of knowing they got what they wanted. Yeah. That's the real reason.
Fuck that place. Do we actually know it's a charged expansion? Like we know
they said that they will charge money for it.
Okay,
it's $40. It's already.
Well, they didn't say
it's
$40.
Well, no, we don't know the cost.
I swear I saw some people actually pointing to.
No, it's just every expansion is $40.
Okay. I mean, like, anybody listening who is interested in buying it, if you get like an email saying, "Hey, you can pre-order now," that's probably a scam. So just watch out.
Right.
Also, just like a couple of points. One for the because this is an expansion, this because it will bring in more people, but also because like with the feature packs and with like they've actually gotten really good at telling like with the living story updates. I would be surprised if they have a lot more player retention if like post expansion they just go right into Living Story Season 3 and a lot more people are exposed to just that model. I think that would be good for the game.
Speaking of seasons, they are the last thing we haven't talked about on this list is the Wobbugs change. Is that they said they're adding a new map to the rotation? Does that mean there's a rotation
has
already?
Changed.
No, there's not a rotation. That's why I was confused. Are they like add Edge of the Mist to the Borderlands rotation?
No, Edge of the Mist is still going to be its own thing. But it's just basically the Borderlands map every week will change between the Borderlands like that we know now and this other map.
I'm guessing if I interpret that correctly. It's also interesting. It's at the same time interesting and the least interesting thing from this presentation.
I'm actually kind of surprised it's pretty cool. Like for as a person who used to love WoW like in the early days. The whole like adding whole new mechanics to WoW, like the keeps having their own personalities and like different like offensive options depending on what keeps you have because they all do different things. Like they have like intrinsic shit. Like there's an Asura keep they talk about, which is like the keep of Earth or some shit. That's like this massive floating fortress thing that has weird stuff if you activate certain things. There was cool stuff talked about, but the sad side of it is I think one of the coolest things they've done in PvE was add WoW into PvE, like that semblance of WoW into PvE
and
the new maps they added. Yeah, that's easily one of the coolest things they put in PvE. And the fact that they're not doubling down on that is surprising to me. At least we don't know if they are. Like, it doesn't seem like they are. That would be cool if they added like if they fundamentally shifted it and went, that's the direction we're going because it's way more friendly to people who are more casual like myself, having like this massive PvE area where there are these forts, and you do always have an enemy force because they're NPCs. They're always attacking. They're always trying to take it back. Like it would be cool to... It's kind of like capitalizing what their original premise was for Ore, but now. But anyway, whatever.
Let's talk about the two of the main things in WoW that I thought was kind of interesting for me is that they're not going to be focusing more on, hey, you capture a point and I move on to the next one, but more of a, okay, hold this point now. You know, I think
that's good. They need that.
I think that really gives credence because now you don't have a bunch of, you know, swarms of people moving around the map like a mob to do things, but you need to stay there, keep a select group of people that you know can hold it and hold it. And I think that gives more of like, it gives more dynamics to the world of itself, I think.
Yeah, you can't just roll around as a Zerg and like, hey, we can capture things faster than you, so we're going to win.
Right. Yeah. And I think the second thing I found that was very fascinating, the Therb and I both looked at each other like, wow, really? Is that when you capture something, it actively builds up defenses around itself. And I don't know if that was just for the Borderland or if
more of a Borderlands thing, because they mentioned like the
okay.
There was like an Earth Keep that would just bring up the Earth around it as an active defense or something.
Right. Okay. But still, that's a very cool thing that if they were introduced into proper WoW, if it succeeds and it becomes a thing, which I'm kind of wondering, are the Borderlands more of like a tech demo for things they want to do and they don't actually introduce into proper WoW?
No, because Borderlands are the three maps that are identical. They are proper WoW.
Oh, they are. Okay, because I was thinking Borderlands for some reason were separate.
No.
Okay.
Let me just throw down tutorials for anybody who is like listening, who's on the fence, as well as anybody who is a WoW fan who is like screaming right now. First off, yeah, the Edge of the Mist map is the one that is separate from itself. That is really just intended for like it's a tech demo intended for leveling and has a bunch of neat features. Yeah, it's okay. A weird thing. And also like not it's multiple servers are merged together to fight for that. It is just for leveling. There is no point like overall ranking thing. As for the Borderlands and the EBG Eternal Battlegrounds, like those four maps exist. Like that is the leaderboard system for WoW port, like that servers fight compete on. And they've always wanted like more servers or more maps rather to like new stuff. But the issue of like how can we like we don't want to spread out the player base further because some servers don't have enough people, whereas other servers are overly populated. So the idea of rotating maps was I think proposed long ago. And then on the subject of like, I think the PVE side of it, if they do put that system from the Silver Waste in of World versus World, I think that the PVE community can get behind that on the new maps. But for WoW, I've seen the higher level stuff and participated in it just like as a grunt, and it like there are Zerg swarms of just like, hey, they're just gonna hit this thing, but there are other groups that are in almost like Eve fashion of one person saying very direct, like exact things, exact placements. It may look like a Zerg, but
but also you can't judge the whole game based on tier one. That's silly.
No, I'm not in tier one. I'm tier like two or three.
I'm just saying, but like still, if you go down in the middle, it's even. Vast majority of the time, it's still just Zerg and everywhere.
Yeah, so it, I mean, like, I'm all for the idea of rewarding, like, you know, stationary play and all that, but also it just, like, dismissing the higher skill stuff as just dumb Zergs kind of does it a disservice, so.
I mean, sure, but it's dumb Zergs. Like, I am dismissing it as dumb Zergs, and that is why I don't really play WoW unless it's a season. Because it's either... Okay, this is my experience with WoW. It is either dumb Zergs, or it is people that are taking it way too seriously about it not being dumb Zergs.
Yeah, and like I've also heard from people who did take it way too seriously and who have gotten burned out on it. But then the question is, for the developer side, do you want to like try and bring in more people, but disenfranchise the people who are already playing? And if they don't succeed in bringing more people in, they've sort of just it's a double-edged sword. They screwed themselves. So,
I mean, they need to do something to mix up the formula because it is very static right now. It's not. I don't think it's very fun.
It's static right now. But the seasons that they've been doing, I've noticed like people get really into it for that brief time, and then like when the season is not active, they take a break.
Like me.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm not going to cast judgment on War vs. World until I hear more facts. This new map, though, does seem cool. It's the idea of, you know, new terrain is nice.
Yeah. The little clips looked kind of like the Silver Waste. Like, there were those big old palm trees. Whatever those trees are. They look like giant.
I just thought they used some of the... as long as it's more mechanically dense, it's always a good thing, in my opinion. I'm just one of those guys who just loves mechanics. So, yeah, it's cool. I think we've kind of gone through everything they've said about, like, what do you guys find most interesting? Like, what sold you on this, or how are you sold yet? Because I'm personally in it for Revenant and the specializations. Like, I just want to see how they change up combat.
Can't wait for the Reven boss fight.
I think actually what they've been doing with the story, while kind of predictable, like, no one was really surprised. Oh no, Savari are tied to the jungle dragon. It's like, well, that's not really a huge twist. But that being said, I think, you know, the last few episodes have been fairly entertaining. So I'm looking forward to see what they do with that. And then I'm curious what they're going to do. I'm curious to see how crazy they go with specializations, because the Mesmer seems like it might be becoming the Time Mage it was always destined to be.
Oh, man. That'd be fucking cool.
That shield with just the clock on the ground. I was like, oh.
That was pretty awesome.
Oh, they're totally... You know they're bringing that back.
Yes,
I don't know what kind of damage it was doing. Like, it froze them in ground and all of a sudden they...
Chaos damage? I don't know.
Okay.
So, Squiddle and Durr and the dynamic duo with your Heart of Thorns t-shirts.
Yes. Yeah.
What are you... Are you guys back in?
And pins.
And pins.
Oh, are you guys back in?
Sweet Gilmore Street pins. Yeah, like I kind of been saying for a while, like that was going to be the thing to get me back in is getting expansion out there, get a lot of content, because it's from the beginning, any complaints I've had has been mostly just like this kind of piecemeal little bits of content here and there.
Yeah.
So to have kind of this big chunk of content all at once, like that's what I've been waiting for to get back into the game.
And for me, I think as Shin can attest to, I've been away for quite a while. And when I played my thief, I played a bad thief.
Irregardless of you being away for a while, you were that way even when you were here.
Sure. No. I'm not saying me being away for a while was a bad thief. It was because, I was told one way to play a thief when Guild Wars first started, made a macro on my mouse, and that's the only way that I played, from there on out, not even trying to deviate from that original idea. So I am at a point where I am definitely ready to jump back in and try to become the thief that my mother always thought I could be.
And Thurb, are you? I know you're still playing, but are you more in?
I mean, like, I'm still playing now because of the whole community thing, because I have friends who still play the game. Most of this stuff does not entice me. Like, I have several 80s just like yourself, and so like the idea of a new class, yes, that seems neat, but I still haven't fully explored all the other classes, and it's fun to jump around between all of them. So yeah, I
Smotar.
No.
No one should play Smotar.
Come join me on the Titanic.
Man, hold on. I'm gonna go on a tangent here. I want Star Wars to just fucking go away.
It's the first biggest MMO or something like that.
I don't mean Star Wars the Old Republic. I mean Star Wars.
No. Nope. Shin, not only is it not going away, they're making more of them now.
I cannot wait.
It's gonna be amazing. I'm excited. I'm fucking excited.
It's gonna be so bad.
It's gonna be so good.
It's great.
It's gonna be so good.
Battlefront.
Why is the Titanic in Star Wars? Jack just never lets go of it?
That lightsaber had a crossguard.
No, I'm just kidding. Yes! Star Wars is soaring like the Hindenburg.
Star Wars needs to go away. that world has become so boring. And so static.
I
have a lightsaber. Hold on, let me freeze you in place.
What they talked, like they brushed up against briefly for a lot of the stuff is like depending how the game mode for like not quite Guild versus Guild but Stronghold.
Oh, we're talking about Guild Wars again, right?
Yes, okay. I'm trying to bring it back into Guild Wars.
I was like, why are you talking about Star Wars and games? What you didn't know?
The Stronghold looks interesting.
So
yeah. Yeah, the Stronghold looks interesting, but really just like if they add more guild missions, if they add more like community stuff, I'm sure there will be a couple gems of events that I will enjoy in the new zone, but like my worry is on the whole, it's just going to be like we need quality, or we need quantity, not quality. And that's, I, I really
wait a second. Wait. When was the last time they gave you quality?
When I was in Fields of Ruin. Okay, when I was in Fields of Ruin, and I come across the bush, and I see a person hiding inside the bush with the name Ordinary Bush, and I talk to him, and he just goes, "Chirp."
And it's an NPC.
Isn't that one of the like the hunts or whatever?
No, it was just a like escort event.
Weird.
It was just like it was really dumb, but it was also really well written. Like the guy, like as he comes across Separatists, because it's in Fields of Ruin with Char and Separatists and humans and all that, and he's just like trying to sell them on like a timeshare, and they just start attacking him.
Cynic, just because you've been playing a lot of Destiny doesn't mean every game is an under-delivering piece of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, at this point, I'm pretty sure every game is an undelivering piece of shit, and so I was right. I'm concerned. God damn,
that's not true. People who play Star Wars have their expectations so low that anything is a delivery.
Well, and that's, that is the issue with the hype train and like what sounds like glass shattering in the other channel. But yeah, it's like. I guess I can still throw back to like the reason why I am not super psyched for this is like because they don't have something like an organized keg brawl yet. The idea of like letting me have my own fun in my own way, it's like, yes, the PvP scene is nice. Yes, they've like made it into this healthy sort of like, you know, mini esports thing. The WoW is fun, but we've already put our piece in.
Don't get me started on what they haven't done yet. Please don't get me started on that. Because holy shit. There's no announcement of fucking matchmaking for dungeons. There's no announcement for fucking spectator mode. Like, there's so much shit they haven't done in this.
Wait, spectator mode's in.
Yeah, spectator mode's in. There's a looking for group system. They announced ranking for PvP.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
More missed their mark, because for people like me who haven't been paying attention for the game, I didn't know that stuff was in there.
They had an hour and a half to talk about new stuff.
That's not on them.
No, it is on them, because it's not up to me to sell myself on the game. They have to sell me on it.
My point is that like, it's not on them that you don't know that there's a feature that was added like a year and change ago.
It is on.
No.
What?
Are they not out to sell games?
Yeah, aren't they? Don't they want to sell their game?
Like, they were talking about the spectator mode like when they were putting it in, just because you weren't paying attention.
I don't even play and I knew it was there.
Exactly.
You do hang out with Shinboy and like you do talk to people who play the game. Like, no,
we play Divinity and tabletop RPGs.
Well, okay, and then Cynic, like as a person who you said yourself, this game has been out for like 2 to 3 years.
Yeah,
and you assumed they did not have it. That years ago. Like that's something you should assume every MMO has after so many years of being actively developed.
No, I've lost all faith. I lost all faith in Guild Wars 2 ages ago. It's something that
honestly, the time you meet Cynic
can be just a real dick sometimes. I mean, seriously.
No, like honestly, I it is up to them to tell people like me what they've got.
And they
to
were.
Offer.
You just weren't listening.
No.
So no. When the announcement came out, I was in a channel with like maybe 6 people who stopped playing Guild Wars about the same time I did, which is about like 8 months. Whenever the Karka event was, and like half of them were like, "Okay, I'm not getting it," and the other half were like, "Yeah, I guess I'm gonna buy it and then not play it."
The first iteration of Spectator Mode was added to Guild Wars 2 on April 30th, 2013.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if. Like the general people don't know about. Like you guys don't get the game.
Do know.
Fair.
You
talk
don't.
About it.
The general
every
people
week.
Don't. However, anybody who is interested in this, like it, we are telling you now, by as vessels of like, through the community.
The general people do know, just because you don't.
Guild Wars 2 players know. Yes, I think so.
Yeah, Guild Wars 2 players know. I don't think someone who's in the community can count what the general person.
Do you want
knows
them to like
for.
Fucking give you a phone call? Like,
okay, anybody listening.
Anybody like, they send out emails
know,
for each
tweet.
Release that tell you what's in the release just because you delete them immediately.
I stopped reading those emails. Yeah, I stopped reading those emails.
Again, that's on you.
Well, no,
that's,
well, it's not. On them to sell a product to a customer.
Yeah. We should be ones selling ourselves on it. What?
What
are
do you
guys
want
crazy?
Them to do? Hold on, what else do you want them to do besides sending you an email every time there's a release saying, hey, there's a new release, here's what's in it. What do you want them to do?
Wait, I want them to sell their expansion holistically. Not just on what's what? New, oh. And for if they want to get people like me in, and they will, because apparently the stuff I was looking for is now in the game. they need to. The entire point of an expansion is to resell people, like obviously to sell back to the people who already bought your game, but to bring people back in. And a lot of those people, such as myself, stopped paying attention to Guild Wars 2 for years. I've not looked at any Guild Wars 2 news for years, and that's not just me, because remember, Guild Wars 2 isn't exactly a growing community; it's a shrinking community. Like it's not like a crazy thing.
And they probably don't know about it.
Okay, guys,
I don't know about
good example
things,
of that.
Yeah.
They're going to be at PAX East in 6 weeks' time. They're going to be a playable build for anybody to come up and try and talk with the devs. They only had an hour and a half. They want to talk about new stuff, and a lot of that was just presenter jargon of like waving hands about, which happens with every E3 conference. And so, like, the idea that they did not tell you every minute thing that was in the game.
Oh, no, they don't. Yeah, but they have to. It's an indication of what
they've
yet to
do. Does Guild Wars do free weekend?
Okay, well, I don't know if you know, Cynic, but they also have a working trading post and an in-game cash shop, a looking for a group system, a way you can party. They really need, like, you know, mini systems.
Speaking of which, is the spectator mode and looking for group system, are they actually good?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, Durin, is the looking for group system good? As the person actually knows MMOs?
What is your definition of good?
Thank you.
Let me clarify. The reason I ask is because, like, is it functional? Yes. Is it useful for somebody as a casual player to get in and run, you know, X dungeon that you want to run? Probably not, depending on what class you're playing.
No, I'm going to argue that, because as a person who's used the guild, like the looking for group system, on characters that were not 80s and whatnot, it's just like I've had maybe one or two bad experiences out of the like 100 times I've used it since it.
Well, okay, this is you know, when it came out, it was not friendly to people who didn't want to do, you know, speed runs of all warriors.
I mean, like, true, but at the same time, like, dungeons have become this very casual thing. Like, it's very rare to have a failure.
Yeah, that might have changed by this point. But yeah, when they first launched it, though, it was not friendly for probably the vast majority of players.
And I'm very interested to see what their spectator mode is, because...
Okay, then log into the game.
Yeah,
you should join me and my friends and just bitch about the game while we play
it. I don't know if you know this, Cynic, but you can actually just play the game right now. There's no sub fee.
There is no sub fee. It's going to be interesting to see if I fall back in love with it. We'll see. I'm going to keep an open mind. Like those are the things I'm
looking for. Okay, so I'm gonna in case you weren't aware, Guild Wars 2 is a massively multiplayer online role-playing game that is a sequel.
Yep.
To the cooperative online role-playing game Guild Wars, originally released in 2005.
Is it a really? Yep. Is it really a sequel?
It is.
I thought it was a spiritual spin-off.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, it's set 250 years after the events of Guild Wars 1.
Whoa.
And you play as one of five... I don't know if you know, there's five races you can play as.
That's cool. Yeah. That's a cool game.
Wait, all right. I think we've discussed it. Five races... Yeah.
I'm going to stop before I actually get angry.
Thank you.
All right.
So, any plugs as we go around? I'm just going to go north to south on this mumble. 1, 2, 3, Nooborama, do you have any plugs?
Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub.
Okay, let me jot that down with my clocky-cocky keyboard. Self-confessed Cynic, do you have anything you would like to plug that maybe none of us know exists that's blatantly obvious?
My plugs are probably safe for the Scotchcast.
Okay.
Is it that honey game?
Oh, God.
No.
I'll save myself for last. Squiddle and Durin, the two-headed monster, do you have any plugs? All right.
Deep in the south? No, there's more than 3 dozen people here.
Oh! I will plug Victory Golden Monkey once again, because Durin here had never had one before, and the first time he did was yesterday.
What did you think, Durin?
I am very sad to find out they don't sell that in Kansas City.
So what do we do today to rectify that?
What's that?
What did we do today to rectify that?
Bought a case of it to bring back with me.
Like a 30?
Like a 24 pack.
24, yeah. 24 bottles?
Yeah.
All right. Thurb? Do you have anything to share with the class?
No, nothing to be snark, so no.
Oh, not snark.
I mean, like,
snark.
You missed out on buying the game for super cheap over the weekend. I don't know if they're gonna have it on sale again. I don't know.
Yeah, no, play Guild Wars 2. It was literally today. It was today. That was it.
Yeah. I just want to comment. That was kind of weird. They did a one day. I mean, it was not weird. I guess if you were following the hype of Guild Wars or following any news outlet that talked about Guild Wars, or if you knew Guild Wars existed, that it was available for a discount today, but only having one day of it was kind of a...
Yeah, like anybody strange. Who didn't follow Guild Wars didn't know
it's two days, some special but day. Still.
No, it was like midnight tonight is when it ended.
Oh, really? I thought it was like... Oh, maybe the double XP is today and tomorrow and the sale was only
today. Okay.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
So, that's it.
It's tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow? Okay.
Yes, 8 a.m. today, the time of recording, the 24th, to 11:59 p.m. Pacific time, January 25th. Tomorrow.
So tomorrow okay. noon.
There's a weekend deal. But that being said, to anybody interested in purchasing it, again, PAX East is like 6 weeks away. I wouldn't be surprised if they do a similar deal during that weekend.
I agree. They probably do something, considering they'll be showing it off. Do you have any music plugs for us, Squiddle?
It's going to be a full public beta, though. They're doing a full public beta for... expansion, like it's gonna be.
I mean, they're not at the same time.
Oh yeah, yeah. But that's gonna be like if you're on the fence, like maybe you want to wait for the actual full public beta of the expansion.
Which I don't know how to work that. I would assume you need to own the game to get into that.
No, well, it says a public. Well, I guess it's called a public beta, but I wonder what that means in the end. But
I assume it's
gonna be free and open.
I will actually add one last thing to this, just as sort of a side. For people interested in, like, when are they going to... They haven't announced a release date. However, I'm pretty sure NCSoft during, like, an earnings report, or it might have been a third-party company that
just... That was
just
a third-party, speculation.
But basically, there's speculation that NCSoft said ArenaNet would have a huge spike in sales Q3 of this year. So, maybe that's just when pre-orders are available, but this, like, they've been working on this for a while, so this is pretty close to release, I imagine, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, Colin said something along the lines of, like, we wanted to wait till it was ready to show it off, and from here on out, things are going to start moving pretty quickly. But
good plug, twitch.tv/GuildWars2, I believe.
Yes.
Let me double check that.
It is. It's what it is.
Okay. Like, it's actually a pretty, like, it's better, okay, it's better than the Iron Galaxy stream.
Those are so bad.
They have a green screen in the back. They try and do every 2 weeks. 1 week will be the PvP side of it, and the other week is I think it's like points of interest, the PvE. But they'll be probably talking about a lot of the stuff there.
All right, and I guess I'll just do a music plug since I've been thinking a lot about concept albums.
Yes, because
my drive up to PAX decided the theme this year is going to be concept albums, and there are two. I think I've mentioned this album, Cybion, by a French band called Calicia, where it comes with a glossary, and they made up a language, and it's super insane and crazy and sci-fi as hell.
That sounds fucking phenomenal.
I played a little clip for you that one time. I don't know if you remember.
That they had a glossary because they made up their own language. Like,
if you look in that folder that I gave you, there's scans of the pamphlet awesome. That has a glossary. The other is last night I was watching Magfest and the Proto Men were playing, so I decided to give Act 2 of their Mega Man Saga a listen, and that's pretty good. It's very like 80s sort of David Bowie, Meatloaf style 80s telling a story rock music, so it's quite entertaining. So yeah, those are the plugs for me. Anyone else got any last words?
I'm installing Guild Wars 2 again right now.
Guild Wars 2 is... super hot?
Super hot. They didn't go HOTS. I'm disappointed.
I know. Yeah, I was looking at that and I was like, H-O... Oh, God, they didn't look the S off. How are they going to figure S in there?
Sorry.
I guess as a final cap, that logo looks pretty good. Like that. Like
okay.
That's on par with the Guild Wars 2 original logo.
This was something I was talking to. We were passing by downtown San Antonio on our way home, and there was some really trashy... tattoo parlors on the way. And so turned to Durin. I said, Durin, what if we got matching selfie friend tattoos?
You tried to convince me of this in Boston and it didn't work.
and he laughed it off, much like he's doing now. But then I thought, what if I got a tattoo of the new Guild Wars Heart of Thorns?
Don't get video game tattoos like that are just logos of games.
And then I promptly said that if I did that, Shin Boy would give me shit for doing it or even thinking about it.
You are correct.
It, so.
This would be a dumb thing to do.
Well, now, what if he just did the thorns?
Like the thorns with the dragon?
Yeah.
That's all right.
What if I did Heart of Thorns and then put characters of the Wild Thornberries mixed in there?
Okay.
Put Nigel's head in the middle of the thorns.
Yes, Nigel's face instead of the dragon's face at the head.
Yep.
Okay, that's acceptable.
That would be worth doing.
Oh, and on that bombshell, as Jeremy Clarkson would say, see you next week or in the Scotchcast, depending if you're going to listen to that too. Good night.